critical piece of the economic puzzle is on the way. For Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio. From Wall Street to Washington and around the world, there is one thing everyone is looking forward to. Later this morning, we get the jobs report. The latest picture of America's workforce will give us an updated look at how the economy is doing overall. Forecasters expect a net job gain of 180,000 with a jobless rate of 4.8%. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace is here to put all this in context. Good morning, Lewis.
Good morning, Mark.
So get us up to speed. What did we learn from the report last month?
So last month, those May numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, just 38,000 jobs were added, which was a pretty disappointing and worrisome number. It's not what people were hoping for.
And there was a little noise in the data because we had the Verizon strike.
Yes, and those workers are back to work, back on the payroll, so they'll be counted in this next report for June. In the May report, unemployment actually did go down, but we have that long-term issue again of people leaving the labor force and not coming back, so they're not being counted. And in May, almost 500,000 people were added to the group of folks who are working part-time against their will and want full-time jobs. There's also this persistent issue of racial inequality when you dig into the numbers. The unemployment rate for Black Americans was more than twice the rate for white people. It's 8.2%. White rate was 3.6% in May. And Black youth ages 16 to 19, that group have an unemployment rate of almost 1 in 3. Again, that's twice the rate for whites in the same age bracket.
And what are the implications of today's report? What are people watching for?
I mean, the long and short is that it needs to be strong. Low wages are still a really big issue. So employers need to keep adding jobs in order to put pressure on those wages. That, in turn, could encourage people to return to the labor force, address that issue. There's also some speculation that the Fed could consider an interest rate hike if jobs pick back up. That's one of the factors we know the Fed is looking at. We now also have the Brexit in play, so it's really hard to say on that front. Already, the payroll numbers out from ADP yesterday found that 172,000 jobs were added to the payrolls in June, and that is more than analysts were predicting.
Okay, a lot to watch for. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace, thanks very much.
Thanks.
We are following developments in Dallas, where 5 police officers were killed in a sniper attack. 6 more were injured. The killings took place at a protest march over fatal police shootings of Black men in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and suburban St. Paul, Minnesota. President Obama is meeting with European leaders at a NATO summit in Warsaw. One major topic is the impact of the UK's vote to leave the European Union. The president talked about how the vote is driven in part by people who feel left behind by globalization, a feeling many Americans also have. President Obama called for big projects to drive job growth.
In particular, we discussed the importance of public investments like infrastructure, education, innovation, and security to stimulate growth and job training to help reduce inequality and unemployment, especially for young people here in Europe. That's been the right thing to do for years, both for the long term and the short term. But in a time when heightened uncertainty in the global economy is potentially amplifying the headwinds that we all face, these policies make even more sense today.
The Brexit vote is a reminder of how far away global economic events affect us and connect us all. Marketplace Weekend host Lizzie O'Leary is reporting on Brexit from across Europe. She visited UK cities and towns earlier. Right now, she is in Berlin, where she's looking at how Germany is rethinking its present and future in the wake of the Brexit vote. Lizzie, great to have you on the show.
Nice to be here.
Well, there is buzz on the ground about an idea from Germany's vice chancellor to at least consider offering dual citizenship to young Britons. Explain what's behind that idea and how that's being received.
Sure. It's a somewhat complicated thing. Sigmar Gabriel floated this idea in a speech. He said they shouldn't raise the drawbridge on young Britons. And two things are really going on here. It's a signal to both UK nationals living here in Germany and to British politicians. You know, of course, there are a lot of people in the EU who are in Britain right now. And one of the big sticking points is what happens to all of these people who've been moving back and forth. And dual citizenship is a somewhat controversial thing. So the idea that they could make that easier is meant to make working here more attractive. It's also important to note that there's some internal German politics going on. There's an election next year. So some of this is sort of floating a trial balloon to people here in Germany.
Now, let's wind the clock back a little bit, because Germany became the economic powerhouse it is with a lot of help from immigrant labor. There were millions of Turkish workers who came after World War II. A huge community still there today, a much more diverse country than it was historically. You've been in Stuttgart. You've been in Berlin. Like, how is the conversation about immigration and globalization different after the Brexit vote?
You know, it's really strikingly different when you ask people about immigration and this free movement of labor, when you sort of contrast Germany with the people I was talking to in the UK. Certainly spoke to many pro-Brexit voters there. And in Stuttgart, where I've been earlier this week, 45% of the people are either foreign-born or have parents who are immigrants. So, you know, you walk around town and there are Turkish kebab shops, Lebanese tavernas, Italian cafes, you know, all these people who came as guest workers, certainly for the auto industry. And you've had a big uptick in migrants and refugees in the past year. So it's just much more welcoming, I would say, in Germany than in many parts of England that voted out. I would note, though, that the far-right anti-immigration party has gained some ground nationally here in Germany. So I would say why most people who we talked to were pro-immigrant, there's certainly a right-wing populist backlash.
Okay, Lizzie O'Leary, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The U.S. Senate has approved legislation that, for the first time, would require food packaging to carry labels listing genetically modified ingredients. Uncertain fate for that bill in the House, though. You can also hear more of Lizzie's reporting from Europe at Marketplace.org and on Marketplace Weekend. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer, Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.